We come to the 12th chapter today of Hebrews. We've been talking from Hebrews a lot about Jesus. Of course, the writer of Hebrews writes this text to present Christ as superior to the angels, superior as a priest in the priesthood, and that we are to rest assured in the promise of the blessing of Christ and the promise of entering into the promised land and believing in Christ. Chapter 12 actually extends from earlier in the book of Hebrews, even as far as chapter 9, where the writer talks about the first covenant, about the regulations for worship and the earthly sanctuary. And they go on to say that Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ. And then the writer continues in chapter 10 by elaborating on the fact that we have confidence now through Christ to enter the most holy place or into the presence of God by a new and living way opened through us, through Jesus Christ, by sprinkling of His blood on us. The writer then says that we need to persevere in our faith because they were writing to the early church and the early believers at that time who were struggling with their faith and struggling with the superiority of Jesus Christ and Christianity. And the writer says that we need to persevere so that when we've done the will of God, we will receive what God has promised, eternal life through Christ, saying that we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who believe, or those who have faith and are saved. And we say, well, that's very hard to continue on to persevere and have faith. So the writer says, well, let me give you a portrait of what true faith is. And the writer says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Okay? And they say, here, I'll show you. And they list several people, from Abel to Enoch to Abraham to Moses to Joseph, all through what we call the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews, saying here is a portrait of faith in these people, and here's an example of what happens in the life of a faithful person. So you need to persevere and have faith in what is not seen, because like these people who had faith in what was not seen, they prospered, were blessed by God, because they accepted what God had promised. So have faith. Now the writer in chapter 12 says that bearing these things in mind and keeping in mind all these faithful who have gone before us, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, since we are surrounded by all of these examples, like being in a great cloud, by all these examples of the faithful who have gone before us, and now they stand back and they're watching us run the same race that they ran, let us throw off everything. Let's throw off everything. That is the doubt and the fear that hinders us. Let's get rid of everything that binds us and hinders us from going on, from persevering, from having faith. And also, let's cast off the sin that so easily entangles us. Let's get rid of it all in Jesus Christ and run with perseverance that race that's marked out for us. Well, sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard to get started. We have to have a focus. We have to have a finish line. That's the purpose of a race, getting to the finish line. And one of the best ways is to fix our eyes on the finish line or on the glory or on the reward, and that's Jesus Christ. So the writer says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on the one who is the author, meaning he wrote the book on faith. He initiated faith. He knows more about faith than we will ever know because he, in faith himself, for the joy set before him, which is the joy of being the Savior of his people, he endured the cross. He had faith in what his Heavenly Father had told him, and he endured the cross and therefore set an example of faith for us. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, but not only the author who showed us true faithfulness, but the perfecter of our own faith. because now he lives inside us and shows us what true faith and true perseverance is, and he helps us and guides us on to perfection. Okay? We grow in grace from the time that we're saved. We are never perfect, or we would be Jesus Christ, but we grow in grace and are being perfected daily by Jesus Christ. According to what Wesley said, we go on to perfection. So let's fix our eyes on that person, that Jesus, who is the author and also the perfecter of our own faith. That one who set before him, or for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he endured all things in faith. And in fact, he even scorned the cross as shame. And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So all these things, all these doubts and fears and these questions that we have of, gee, am I really saved? Can I lose my salvation? Do I need to be baptized a certain way? What happens if I die before I'm baptized? And all these things, let's cast them off and let's fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the true example and author of faith, but also the one who perfects our own faith. Now, this is one of the most important things that we as Christians can do. We as people always want to do something. We hear about some certain situation or circumstance. We want to do something. What can I do? What can I say? How can I help? Here's the most important thing that we as Christians can do, and that is fix our eyes constantly on Jesus. It is the absolute most important thing we can do in our faith walk, step by step by step, is keep focusing and fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to live by faith and not by sight. But faith in Jesus Christ gives us spiritual vision and clarity to walk that walk and to endure that journey, to persevere and have faith along the way. So the writer encourages us and gives us advice to fix our eyes on Jesus. How many of you have taught your kids to drive? Many of you have. Some of you are working with that right now. What's the number one thing you say to them? Watch where you're going, right? Watch where you're going. Keep your eyes on the road. Maybe some of you say that to your spouses going down the road. I don't know. But you've got to watch where you're going. You've got to keep your eyes on where you're going. Keep your eyes on the road. When you're working with machinery of any kind, whether it's woodworking machinery or whatever, whether you're working with machinery, you have to keep focused on what you're doing and keep your eyes fixed on what's going on. Maybe you're plowing a field. If you don't keep your eyes fixed straight ahead on the goal you want to reach, you're going to end up clear over to the side of the field. Maybe you're just cutting the grass. If you don't keep your eyes fixed straight ahead, what's your lawn going to look like? Maybe you're cooking. You don't keep your eyes on the stove and on the pot. The pot boils over and things burn if you don't pay attention to what you're doing. And this is the way it is spiritually also. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ as going along in our journey if we're going to persevere, if we're going to have true faith. On this end of the parsonage, on the west end of the parsonage, in the dining area, there are three windows. And when I sit at my dining table there, I look out across the horizon to the west. And far on the horizon, a little over a mile away, is a light. A little tiny light. And as I see that light, I can't tell what that light is. I can't tell where it's coming from. I can't tell what it's made up of. I can't tell you anything about it. All I can tell you is there is that light. Now, if I set out from my house and go a little bit closer, as I'm walking down the road, I'm still fixing my eyes on the light. As I go down through the valley and head up that way, I soon find out, oh, that light's coming from St. John's Church. And the closer I get, I can start to tell you it's one of their night lights up there. And the closer I get, I can tell you where it is on the property, what it's made up of, what it looks like. I can describe the color. From far away, I can just simply see the light. A little closer, I begin to understand it. And as I get up close to it and stand there looking up to the light, I can actually have a relationship with that light, can't I? because I've gotten close to the light. Up close, I benefit by the light. In the darkness, a mile away, it doesn't do me one bit of good. It might direct me in a certain way, but generally it doesn't do me any good. But when I'm in the light, you see, the darkness has no power. I have better clarity. I can see what I'm doing and see the darkened world around me in a whole new light. And so it is with Jesus Christ and fixing our eyes on Christ. From a distance, He's just a tiny light. But the closer we draw to Christ, and we can draw near to Him with confidence, the closer we draw to Christ, the more we start to understand Him. And the closer and closer we get, the more we can tell others about Him. And then we can fulfill our great commission to go into the world and tell others, teach others about Jesus Christ. We can say to our friends, let me tell you about a great light. In fact, let's go. I'm going to walk you to that light. I want you to see something. And we can draw them to that light. But at a distance, it does us no good. We just simply know there's a light there. And our goal as Christians is clarity. We need to get closer and draw closer to Jesus. John says Jesus is the light of men. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we fix our eyes on Jesus in our walk, our spiritual walk, He helps us see clearly. He gives us clarity as to the right way to eternal life. He gives us clarity as to what is truth and what is not. He gives us clarity as is what is really life and life eternal. He gives us direction on that way, direction going the right way, so that when we come to the fork in the road and we choose the world or Christ, our friends may go the way of the world, but we choose the right way because He gives us direction. He gives us direction to that eternal life. And He removes the darkness of sin around us on that way. He removes the darkness of the lies of the world and sheds light of truth on our lives and removes the darkness of sin that our lives so often lead us into. When we see clearly, we're more focused and we move forward for Christ. We have spiritual 20/20 vision. We have divine clarity in Jesus Christ. You know, folks, it's interesting that the eyes are so close to the mind. Because what goes in the eyes quickly moves to the mind and hopefully permeates down through to the heart and to the body and becomes action. Sadly, we get in the middle of the journey and we lose sight of the goal. We're like Peter on the water. Remember, Peter wanted to walk on the water and Jesus said, come to me. So Peter stepped down on the boat in faith. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus Christ, he sank. And that is the way it is with us. The moment we take our eyes off that light on the horizon of Jesus Christ, we lose our way in the journey and we get distracted by the things around us in the world that try and distract us. We become like Peter on the water. We sink. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, but guidance and direction in the Christian life comes by focusing, setting our eyes on Jesus Christ, focusing on Christ like a divine lighthouse. Christ guides us over tempestuous seas to the eternal safe shores of heaven. And life sure is wavy, isn't it? Those seas are raging around us. They're raging around us, but we must persevere and ride out the storm and continue to focus on that light. If we don't, we're going to be dashed on the rocks and the cliffs of destruction of life. In staying focused, we are directed into the safe haven through Jesus Christ. And there's a correlation between our actions and our distance from Christ. I can always tell how far from Christ someone is by their actions, by their talk, by their speech, by the things that they do and say and the way they live their lives. You can tell how far someone is from Christ. When we focus on Jesus up close, we will not only be guided by Him like that light on the horizon, but we'll also begin to live like Him and act like Him through prayer and Bible study, worship, fellowship with other Christians. this light starts to permeate into our own lives. And we start to become like Jesus Christ. I used to play this little game years ago, back even when I was 10 years old, I guess it was, when I actually started racing. Of course, I had my little practice track and my little practice trails, and when I'd get on those trails, I was so-and-so, the world champion at that time, and I was running the race to win the world championship. And here I was, and here was all these other guys that I knew names of from all over the world behind me, and, you know, and I played out the scene because these men were my heroes. And it helped me to encourage me and strengthen me in my riding and in my racing. But like that, we need to make Jesus the focus of our lives, following Him, wanting to be like Him, wanting to live like Him, having faith in Him, because only through Him will we persevere. And we are not of those who shrink back. We are of those who believe and have faith and move forward. And the only reason people will not move forward is because they don't have their eyes fixed and focused on the light at the end of Jesus Christ. When we fix our eyes on Him, we find ourselves looking heavenward, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, beckoning us toward our heavenly destination. The light shines and the promise still stands, Hebrews says. The promise still stands to those who are faithful. But if we are not fixing our eyes on the light and faithful in following it, we will never get to that heavenly destination. And boy, will the journey be tough. And we will never enjoy the brilliance that Christ has to offer us. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And in every one of those in our Christian journey, He is there for us, beckoning us forward like that light on the horizon, saying, come on, I know it's tough, but I've been through it. I endured the cross for the joy that was set before me, and I can't tell you what a joy and a great blessing it's going to be when we all get here, but you need to come. Come on, follow me. I'll be with you. And I'll help to give you strength to get through those troubled times. Some wonderful words of wisdom, encouragement for us here today in Hebrews. To just simply fix our eyes on Jesus. And the reason is because He is not only the author of our faith, He's not only been through it, but He's the perfecter of it, helping us to be perfected, going on to glory, going on to perfection as we go along that way. What else should we fix our eyes on? There's nothing else in this world. Nothing else in this world. No book, no speaker, no church, nothing that will ever guide us to that place like Jesus Christ. And only when we fix our eyes on Him will we know that same joy that Christ knows in eternity. Let's pray.